Hello, lovelies. My name is Caitlin, and welcome to another episode of True Crime with Caitlin. Today, we're going to be discussing a John Doe case, a man who was found to have been murdered, and both his identity and his killer remains a mystery. This is the case of the Clockenagh Forest Man. The Clockenagh Forest in Conwy, Denbighshire, Wales is a vast forest spanning around 40 miles. First planted in the 1930s, the forest is now dense with conifer trees. It's somewhere where if you go off and venture off of one of the many trails within, you could easily find yourself lost. Despite its beauty, the Clockenagh Forest is home to several tragedies. In October 1995, serial killer Peter Muir, who I spoke about last week, drove 28-year-old Edward Carthy to the forest against his will, where he went on to mercilessly murder him and dump Edward's body within the forest. His body wouldn't be discovered until late December of that year, after Peter Muir had been arrested for three other murders. In April 2005, a woman named Jennifer Houston was walking her dog through the forest when 200 yards off of a marked trail, she would find a skeleton which had been handcuffed to a tree. The skeleton was found wearing a pair of boots and with only a few items of clothing on its body, likely wildlife had interfered with it. Deep scuffs on the tree and the handcuffs not being on the wrist of the skeleton indicated to investigators that this person had desperately tried to free themselves from the cuffs. Police would find a key fob either on or in close proximity to the body, which led them to a woman named Maria in Crosby near Liverpool. The skeleton that was found handcuffed to the tree was that of her 47-year-old son, Richard Sumner. Richard was a talented scenic artist who suffered with schizophrenia. He was diagnosed with it in 1984 and his mental health just deteriorated. He had tried taking his own life on three separate occasions prior to his death, and each time he would handcuff himself to a tree and, I guess, just wait to die. On the first three occasions, he would rescue himself. On one occasion, he had been tied to a tree for 4 days before he managed to untie and save himself. It was in March 2002 that Richard made his third attempt to take his life, but he would later tell his sister Patricia that he didn't go through with it because he didn't want to upset the family. A couple of days later, his mum received a letter from him, which in part read that he was so sorry, and after this, he would be considered missing for around 3 years, up until police knocked on Maria's door in April 2005. The news of her son's death in Wales didn't come as a massive surprise to Maria, unfortunately. North Wales was somewhere where Richard loved and felt at peace, as the family had holidayed there in his childhood. After the discovery of Richard's body, some of his artwork would be auctioned off and the proceeds donated to charity. Some of the pieces going for over £300. That's how talented he was. Today's case begins in mid-November 2015. Two brothers named Andrew and Mark Middle were camping out in the Clockenagh Forest as they had been watching the Premier Motorsport Rally. Nightfall quickly came, and so it was cold and dark, and the brothers just wanted to lay back and crack open a couple of beers while chilling around a fire. Needing some extra firewood to burn, Mark collected his torch and began combing their surroundings, looking for any usable wood, rummaging around in the brush, when he noticed what looked like a rather big rock. He creeped closer, and that is when he could see that this was not a rock, it was a human skull almost completely embedded in the moss. He raced back to the camp and called North Wales Police at 8:35 p.m. Later describing how he felt in this moment, Mark would say, quote, "It's just a bit sad that he's been here that long and people have just been driving past probably daily, not realizing he was there. This is something that has stuck with the brothers and something that they have since said they think about daily. Following the discovery, police conducted a 2 to 3 week long extensive search of the area where Mark had found the skull. They were able to find almost an entire skeleton which had been lost within the dense trees and undergrowth. It was believed that the skeleton may have once been buried in a shallow grave. After all the photos were taken and crime scene investigators had been at the scene, the bones were extracted from the forest 2 days after they had been found. The area where the skeleton was found was quite easily accessible, only a few meters away from 2 separate walking trails. The remains were handed to a pathologist who conducted a post-mortem exam, determining that this person had been murdered and their cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head. The pathologist was able to say that it was a man that they had found and somehow, which I can't comprehend but I think is great, he was able to determine other features. Here is Superintendent Easton Davies of North Wales Police Major Incident Team in a video article posted by the Denbighshire Free Press describing some of the features.
So, what else did the post-mortem reveal? It revealed a number of significant features about this person. We know that he was at least 54 years of age when he died, and probably over 60 years of age. We have an estimated height to this man of about 5'10", and he was probably a well-built man. It also identified older fractures to the body, as well as medical conditions. This man has sustained a fracture to his nose at some stage in his life. He suffered from osteoarthritis and had fusion in his vertebrae. Both these conditions would likely to have given him symptoms of pain in his affected joints and reduced movement during life.
7 teeth that were still found with the skull told Dr. John Rosey, a forensic odontologist, more about this man. Here he is in a Crime Watch episode.
7 teeth were subsequently recovered at the scene. Not been very dentally aware in his younger life, and he'd lost all his 12 posterior molars and one upper premolar. So he went to great lengths to have some extensive dental treatment done of very high quality, including crowns, root fillings, and that has formed the basis of my dental examination.
The crowns and some of the dental work that were done on the teeth appeared to Dr. John Rosey like it had been done between 1980 and 2000 and that it was done in the UK. Because some of the work this man had done on his teeth was relatively uncommon, hence highly recognisable, police published these details along with a photo of the jaw within like dentist magazines or journals in June of 2016 with hopes that someone would be able to recognise their own work and be able to put a name to the man, but sadly this didn't pan out. Miraculously, they were able to retrieve a full DNA profile from this man and officers held their breath as it was entered into the national database, but there was no matches, not even familial matches. It was ran through the UK Missing Persons Unit database, but unfortunately, they had no luck there either. Back at the scene in Clochanog Forest, investigators were combing through the evidence there to try and narrow down a time frame to see how long the body slash skeleton had been there. Remnants of fabric from clothing that was found close to the skeleton were examined. This included kind of scraps from what was once a dark green jumper, XL in size, from the brand Pringle. These were manufactured and sold between 2000 and 2004. A label from a pair of boxer shorts was found. These were deep red in colour with a 36 to 39 inch waistband and were bought from M&S. These were manufactured and sold between 1999 and 2000. So potentially this is where it was determined that the man was, as Superintendent Davies said, well built. But another detective would comment on what was found, saying, quote, I must stress, however, that we cannot categorically link these items to the body, but they were found in very close proximity. It was pretty firmly believed that the man had been murdered elsewhere and then his body was brought to the Clochaenog Forest to be buried in a shallow grave. Based on the tree growth and other factors, the time frame of this was put as being between 1995 and 2005. This was later narrowed down, so they now believe it happened between 2004 and 2010. A facial reconstruction was created by a forensic artist showing how the man may have looked. Here is Professor Caroline Wilkinson, featured in a Crime Watch episode describing how they were able to determine how he may have looked.
We look at the skull, and from the shape and size of the skull and the position of, and degree of the muscle attachments, we predict the shape of the muscles, and from the shape of the muscles, we predict the shape of the face. We take measurements assess the teeth to tell us about the lips. We look at the sides and base of the skull to tell us about the ears. We look at the orbits to tell us about the eyes. We can slowly build the skull into the facial appearance of the living individual.
They would come up with three different images showing the man at three different ages. One in his 50s, one in his 60s, and one in his 70s. The picture is really good, and I think if you knew someone who looked like that, you'd be able to look at this picture and definitely recognise him. It's not like a super vague sketch, it's a really good piece of work. I have posted these on the Instagram, True Crime Caitlin Pod, where you can see them, but just to describe it a little bit, his eyes are a little bit inset, his nose is straight, his cheeks are a bit sunken into his face because he had lost some teeth when he was alive, and he looks very masculine, he has a very manly face. The sketches were first shown on a Crime Watch episode, which did generate 40 or so potential leads, and police followed up and thoroughly investigated each and every one, but none of them aided in identifying their man. Police are tirelessly working on trying to find his name because once they know the victim, they could start questioning who would want to hurt him and why. Superintendent Easton Davies explains this, saying, quote, "There will be a loved one, friends, family, that may recognise this person. Once we get the name, we can work on why did this person become a victim, who would be responsible for that, and why would they want to have killed him?" When serial killer Peter Moore, who I mentioned right at the start of the episode, whose case I covered last week, got wind of the Clochaenog Forest Man mystery, he penned a letter to police saying he wanted to talk. He claimed that he knew the identity of the man, stating that the Clochaenog Forest Man was named Roger Evans. Roger Evans was a 46-year-old economics student who disappeared on the 16th of January 1996. Police would find his parked car near Borth, which is just under 2 hours away from Clochaenog Forest, and to this day, Roger has never been found. Investigators would rule out Roger being the Clochaenog Forest Man due to a conflict in dates. It just didn't fit. North Wales police are still desperate to get this case solved, to identify the Clochaenog Forest Man, find out what happened to him, and who is responsible for his tragic end. If you have any information about this case, you can contact North Wales police by calling 101 or 0300 330011, or you can contact Crime Stoppers anonymously. Please don't forget to head over to the Instagram where you will be able to see the facial reconstruction. You never know, the image might ring a bell. Please make sure to share this episode with anyone that you can, including family, parents, even grandparents. Anyone out there can have the key to solving this case. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. If you enjoyed it, please make sure to leave me a nice review and to follow the podcast wherever you're listening. I would appreciate that so much. You can follow the podcast over on Instagram at True Crime Caitlin Pod, where I'll be posting images relating to all of the cases and for any updates. Make sure to tune in again next week for a brand new episode.